We've been dealing with wisdom for the wise just over the past few weeks. We're not dealing with all of the Proverbs here, all 31 chapters, or each individual proverb. We're not trying to cover most of them, or even the major ones. All we're trying to do is lay out a few principles on how to gain wisdom from the Scriptures, or especially the Proverbs, how to gain wisdom from them. My message tonight is the fool, the fool. Reading from Proverbs 1 verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. On this last verse, let's note it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Father, just help us again as we desire, Lord God, even to gather knowledge. Father, we want to gather true biblical knowledge, even knowledge concerning you, the Holy One of Israel. My God, I pray that you'd even give us understanding tonight, that our eyes might be illuminated, that our hearts might truly understand even your ways. And Father, beyond that, we ask for the very wisdom of God. Give us a discerning heart. Give us a heart that's able to weigh things and judge righteously. A heart that knows what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and who to do it with. My God, we are asking in this church for such a wisdom. We don't want to be destroyed as a fool. We don't want to be foolish in this church. We don't want any foolishness to have its way in this church. But we're asking you even tonight, Lord God, will you drive all foolishness even out of our hearts? We know in our Adamic nature, Lord God, that foolishness is wrapped up in our very hearts. But my God, it's your wisdom, it's your chastening hand that drives, oh God, foolishness out of our hearts and grants us wisdom. Just make us wise tonight by your grace and your mercy in Jesus' mighty name. Just verse 7 again. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My message is the fool, the fool. It says in verse 22, just a bit further down in this chapter, it actually mentions three kinds of people. You see, in this whole chapter and throughout most of Proverbs, you actually have wisdom speaking to different kinds of people, to every kind of person. I have often said in the past, speaking to someone, and I've said, wisdom says. I'm not sure that the individuals always pick up on what I'm saying, but you know what I'm actually saying? This is the wisest thing that I can say to you. In your situation, what you're saying, or what you're doing in your life, this is the wisest possible thing I can say to you. And most times what I'm doing is actually giving them the Scripture. I'm not giving them my own thoughts or my feelings or my impressions. I'm just giving them the written counsel of God's Word. That's all I have to give. And you see, when we say wisdom says, what we're saying is this is the greatest of God's wisdom to you. This is what God's wisdom would say to you in your situation. You then have a choice what to do with that. If you're wise, you'll take it on board. If you're a fool, you'll just reject it and say, I can trust my feelings or my emotions, or I can do what I want. But you see, we're going to respond to it in some way. Now notice here in verse 22 that wisdom is speaking to three kinds of people. And these three people are found throughout the Proverbs. You find them time and time and time again cropping up. You find what's wrong in their life and you find what wisdom is trying to do in their life. These three persons, first of all, you have the simple ones in verse 22. And it says, ye simple ones, it's wisdom speaking to them. Will ye love simplicity? Now here is a simple man and he crops up time and time again in the Proverbs. Once you meet him once in chapter 1, you'll meet him again many other times. And I want to tell you, we'll meet the simple ones in the church and out there in the world. Who are these simple ones? Well, really the word simple here means empty heads. In other words, they've got a lot of space and not much fill in it. It doesn't mean someone who isn't intelligent. It doesn't even mean someone who's uneducated. It doesn't mean any of those things. What a simple person is when it says they're empty-headed, what it means is they just don't know. They never have answers. They don't even know what's right and wrong. And they don't really want to change that. Here they are. They are actually ignorant people. They're very naive. They're very simple. They don't know anything and they don't really want to change that. Notice what it says. Ye love simplicity. Here, simple ones, their head is empty. They really don't have. And I'm not talking about all of us that are just seeking God's will and we can't find it. I'm talking about someone who basically, their head is empty of facts. And if you said, look, I can help you. Oh, no, you don't need to help me. Well, I can tell you something. No, oh, no, I'm okay. I don't know anything. But they never change. They don't desire to change. They love simplicity. They love ignorance. They love not to know anything. And I want to tell you, there is no recommendation in the Bible for that. If you're simple, your simplicity can be changed. You know, the simple one isn't someone who really sets out to do evil. They just don't know and they drift through life and they can go through life and never come to the things of God. Notice who the second person is. It speaks about scorners. And what is a scorner? The word scorner means someone who pulls a face. Have you ever seen a scorner? You know, you say something and they pull a face. Or they're doing all sorts of strange things. Now, what you'll find is a scorner appears many times in Proverbs. Not just once, not just twice. You'll read many things about scorners. People who pull faces. What it actually really means here, it says that the scorners delight in their scorning. They delight in it. Just like the simple, they love their simplicity. They love it. They don't want to change. So the scorner delights in their scorning. This second word, scorning, means to mock or deride. You see, someone who has a heart that mocks, that derides, that ridicules others, that's always picking up on something. Their face, they're always making faces. And this is a very biblical thing, but we see it in our world. You look at someone, try to speak to them, they just grimace. They don't really need to say much else. Well, you've made known your feelings. And yet the Bible condemns that because that's an attitude of heart within you. There's no blessing for the scorner. It isn't a recommended thing. They might think they're wise. They're not wise. They might think that they have knowledge. They don't have knowledge. All they are is a scorner, a ridiculer. The knowledge they have, the wisdom they have, the understanding they have, actually creates a hard attitude that ridicules. And in fact, you can see it upon them. They can't even hide it. It is an attitude of heart. But notice they delight in it. They actually delight in this. They don't want to change. They can go through a lifetime of scorning others. And they delight in it. But notice thirdly here, that it talks about fools. So what is the mark of the fools? We see what the mark of the simple ones. They're empty-headed and they love it and they want to be naive. The scorner says, I love deriding people. I delight in it. I revel in it. I get something out of it. It makes me buzz. You ever seen someone? They're very placid, but just get them onto an issue and they suddenly come alive. You go, they can sit there very placid, but just get an issue going. I want to know why it takes something controversial to get them alive. I want to know, why isn't it something good? It's always something negative. If there's something bad to talk about, they come alive. But if there's lots of good things happening, you never hear. Isn't that right? That's the way it goes. I tell you, if we want to learn wisdom, we'll take heed to the scriptures. Since I don't want to be simple, not in the way this Bible talks about it, going, oh, I don't know. Oh, I've got an empty head. I'm just going to drift through 20 years and I'll never learn anything. I'll just go through going, oh, well, I hope for the best. You're in trouble. I don't want to be a scorner, but thirdly, notice what it says about the fools, because this is what I want to preach on tonight. You see, I want to deal with what a fool is, who he is, what he looks like, what he sounds like. Thirdly, we see here that fools hate knowledge. These three people, you meet them all through Proverbs, and you will meet them in life. You will meet simple people. You will meet scorners, and you will meet fools. You'll actually meet men and women who hate knowledge. What is the mark of a fool? They hate knowledge. No, it's just not that they don't listen. They hate knowledge. What is knowledge? It is factual truth. It is concrete facts. And you know what? A fool hates that. A fool hates to hear, this is black and white, this is clear, this is wrong, and this is right. An actual fool hates that. He's got an attitude of heart within him that says, I don't want to hear what's wrong, or I don't want to hear what's right, or I don't want any clarity, or I don't want to listen to anyone who's clear, or anyone who's trying to tell me. Now you meet these three people in the book of Proverbs, and there's a lot of wisdom. You see, wisdom speaks to them. Wisdom is trying to rescue the simple man, the scorner, and the fools. Can these three men change? Yes. You know why? Because you're all fools once. You know what the Bible says in Psalm 14 and 1? It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Somebody is in here said, there is no God, I don't believe in him. And even if you said you believed in God, you didn't believe in the God of the Bible. You didn't believe in a God that hated your sin or demanded repentance of you. You may have had a God in your heart or believed in a God in your heart, but you didn't believe in the true God of the Bible. You didn't believe in him. You see, it says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Many of the people in the street tonight, they're fools. They might be intelligent. They might be successful businessmen. The world out there wouldn't say they're no fools. They said they're wise, they're shrewd men. No, they're fools if they're saying there is no God. If they don't believe in the God of the Bible, they are foolish. That is the height of foolishness, to reject the God of the Bible, or a holy God, or the God of Calvary. That is the absolute height of all foolishness. Now here tonight, if we define what a fool is, if we describe him, if we come tonight in this meeting to see who a fool is, or what the Bible says a fool is. If we can really see something about the fool, the way he thinks, the way his heart attitude is, the way he speaks and the way he acts, if we can really catch a vision of who the fool is, then we will understand more about what a wise man looks like. There's nothing as great as learning from the mistakes of others. Do you know how I learned to obey my dad? I watched my two brothers, older brothers, 6 and 5 years older than me. I used to see them stand outside my dad's door, and my dad would use his belt. And I know it's not very popular today, but my dad loved us. He loved us with all of his heart, provided for us. But my two brothers would be standing at the door, and they're blaming each other. It's going to be about 30 minutes until my dad comes up those stairs. You know that wee bit of element of time maybe calmed my dad's heart down, and it maybe opened up their heart a little bit. It was doing something on both sides. But they'd be standing at the door, and I'd be standing watching, listening to them. And they're blaming each other. And he said, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. And tears begin to come down their cheeks. Well, I'm standing there watching this. I haven't done anything wrong. But I'm learning. I'm looking going, I don't want that. I don't want to go in that room, and I never had to, thank God. But I stood there. I learned something. You see, I learned what it is to do wrong. And I went, why should I have to go through that and feel the pain on the seat of correction? This is called the seat of correction, you know, just in case you didn't know. God created it for a purpose, and the Bible talks about the seat of correction. Now, I didn't need to go through that, but I just watched the wrong way to do it, and I learned wisdom. And when I got all the facts, tears, pain, blaming each other, not very nice, I've got facts. Then understanding comes. Maybe I don't need to go in there. Maybe I don't need to go that way. Then wisdom comes. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. What a wise little kid. I couldn't do my maths. I couldn't do my English. I couldn't tie my laces. But I knew not to go in that room. And I knew there's a way to walk for me. You see, you can look at the wrong thing. And what I'm saying, you could watch a Christian do everything wrong. Or if you're called to be a preacher, you could watch a preacher preach heresy and do things wrong and say, I'm not going to do it that way. And I've learned an awful lot from people who've done it wrong. I've seen how a marriage shouldn't operate, and how a preacher shouldn't operate, and how a Christian shouldn't walk. I've just looked at people and went, oh Lord, help me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say I shouldn't have done all those things. That's not with people crying tears. Their children won't come into church. And you know what they say? You know, I've asked the Lord to forgive me. Now, what I've done has almost destroyed my kids, and they won't even walk in a church. But the Lord's forgiven me. Isn't that sad? Isn't that tragic? You know, it should never have got to that point, because they had the Word of God. They had everything you and I have, and yet they made all the mistakes. Not the end to say, well, you know, the Lord will forgive me and I'll get there in the end. What about your kids? I'm talking about real, burning, mature Christians. I'm not talking about half-baked Christians or someone unsaved out there. I'm talking about people who never learned. And what I'm saying is, if we really see what a foolish man looks like, we can understand what a wise man looks like, because they are absolutely contrary. You see, wisdom is the absence of foolishness. And foolishness is the absence of wisdom. Show me a foolish man, he doesn't have wisdom. Show me a wise man, he has thrown out an awful lot of foolishness from the way he talks and the way he acts and the way he thinks and the way his heart is. You see, to be wise is the absence of foolishness. It is getting foolishness out of the heart. And I want to tell you, foolishness was wrapped up in every one of your hearts, or is wrapped up in every one of your hearts. We were all born like that. All of us had foolishness of heart. All of us have been foolish in our lives. All of us have said foolish things and done foolish things and thought foolish things. All of us. And I tell you, if there wasn't forgiveness, what would we do tonight? I have been a foolish man. I can look to times and I can look to seasons and I go, oh God, I don't want to be like that. I want a wise heart and I want to learn. You see, does the leopard change his spots? Oh, he can. He can. Through the new birth or the born again experience. You see, the words wise and wisdom appear in Proverbs about 125 times. But also the words fool, foolish, or foolishness appear more than 82 times in the Proverbs. It is an emphasis in the Proverbs. God doesn't just talk about wisdom and how to be wise. Do you know what he does? He presents the foolish man. He not only reveals a wise man in the Proverbs, he reveals a foolish man. He presents both of them and he says, here's what a wise man looks like, and here's what a foolish man looks like. And this is how you get to be a wise man, and this is why you're a foolish man. Make your choice. You see, you're going to make a decision. It doesn't happen accidentally. There are reasons why we're either wise or foolish. Jesus talks in Matthew 7. You see, it's not only the fool Remember, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Don't think that the foolish man is only out there on the street, an atheist, saying, I don't believe in God. I don't believe there's a God in heaven. I don't believe there's any afterlife. Don't just think that is the only fool in this city tonight. That isn't the only fool. You see, Jesus talks about another kind of fool who's in the church. They sit in the church or they mix with believers. And he talks about it in Matthew 7. He tells the parable of the wise and the foolish man. Do you remember what it said the difference between a proverb and a parable is? A proverb is a condensed parable. A proverb is a very short, condensed sentence with a lot of wisdom packed in it. It's very condensed. It's very concentrated. You need to open it up. But what's a parable? A parable is a proverb opened up and revealed in a story. That's what a parable is. And Jesus gives this parable of the wise and the foolish man. And notice that he's talking about people who say they're following Christ. The wise man said, I'm following Christ. The foolish man said, I'm following Christ. It's not only people out there, atheists, who are fools. You can be in the church and be a fool. How could you? Look at the two men. They both say they're disciples. They both are building a house. Both of them listen to what Jesus says. So what's the difference? Do you know what the difference is? Do you know what makes a man a fool in the church? He doesn't obey God. That's who the foolish man was. Jesus said, who is this foolish man? He does not obey my words. Do you know what he done? He built on sand. The wise man built on a rock. The foolish man built on sand. And when the storm come, his house collapsed. You can be a wise man and a foolish man in the house. You're both building something. You're both listening to the sermons every week. And yet, do you know the fool? He is actually building his house on sand. And it's all going to be destroyed. And the wise man is building his house on a rock. And it's going to stand. I don't want to be a fool. I don't want to go through years and find that my foundation is wrong. That's the difference between a wise and a foolish man. Not whether we listen to the sermon and agree with it or say, well, I don't know about that. It is a lifestyle of obedience. Let me give you 8 marks of a foolish man. I want to paint you a picture tonight. Is that okay? Can I paint you a picture of a foolish man? I want you to see what he's like, because I tell you what he is like, the opposite is true of a wise man. If you flee the things that embody this foolish man, you will be wise. The first thing that we see is that the fool, that he trusts in himself. Let me say that again. The first great mark of a fool is he trusts in himself. It says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Notice that a fool looks at his own life, the way he's walking, the way he's living, and he says it's fine. In his own eyes, a fool, because of his heart, because his heart is foolish, he says, I'm absolutely fine. I am okay. It's his own thinking, his own ideas, and he says, I am just okay. And yet the Bible says he's a fool. He's actually foolish. He's foolish in how he sees, how he thinks. And you know what? That foolish heart affects how you look at things. You could actually think you're fine and yet you're heading for disaster. That's what foolishness does. It closes your ears. Foolishness closes your eyes or obscures your vision. But there's another half to this verse. It says, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Notice this, you have the fool and the wise man. The fool is trusting in himself. Why? He says, my way is fine. But what's the wise man like? It says, he listens to counsel. Look at the wise man. He's got people around him. And he's saying, you know, speak to me. I want good counsel. I'm listening to you. I want to learn. You see, that's a wise man. He's got counsel in around him and he's listening. But what's a fool like? I'm fine. I'm okay. It looks okay to me. But brother, sister, friend, the Bible says, oh no, I'm okay. But the Bible says, no, I'm okay. Then you're a fool. You see, the first great mark of a fool is he trusts in himself. He actually has such a confidence in his own human eyes, in his own human intellect. All of his trust leans on that. That's very dangerous, you know. If you lean on your feelings and emotions and say, oh, well, I can discern everything by my feelings, you're in trouble. You cannot judge by your feelings. Oh, well, I just know when something's wrong. I tell you, you'll get yourself in trouble. Oh, but I just perceive it. You know what? Give me facts. Give me facts. What is wise counsel? Wise counsel is filled with knowledge and understanding, isn't it? It's filled with concrete facts. That's what knowledge is. It also says in Proverbs 28:26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Do you trust in your own heart? I hope not. Do you know the mark of the born-again believer? We have no confidence in our flesh. That's what Paul says. What is the mark of a real believer? I don't trust my feelings. I have zero confidence in myself. I don't trust in my own wisdom, or my knowledge, or my ability, or my strength. Oh, well, I'll get through the trials. You'll be in trouble. Your strength won't get you through the troubles. Your knowledge of God won't get you through the troubles. My heart is not sufficient. It says the fool trusts in his own heart. Are you being led by your own heart? Oh, well, I just know I'm okay, I'm fine. Then you're a fool. Do you know what man's natural heart is like? Jeremiah said, it is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? Oh, I know my own heart. Do you? Oh yeah, I know I'm just fine. I know my own heart. Well, the Bible says your heart is rotten unless it's transformed by God's grace. It also says in Proverbs 18:2, a fool hath no delight in understanding. He doesn't rejoice in seeing things clearly from a biblical perspective. You can't speak any sense to him. But notice what the fool is. Listen, it says, but that his heart may discover itself. So he doesn't delight in understanding. He doesn't have a desire. I want to understand. Do you know, the other week, were you praying in this meeting, going, I want to understand. You know what? That shows you're wise. If you're going, I want to understand. I want to see. I want to have a clarity. It's because you're seeking. But a fool doesn't think like that. A fool doesn't say, I want to see. I want to know. He doesn't have that heart. But rather, it says, his heart may discover itself. Do you know what a fool's caught up in? He says, I want to discover my own heart. He doesn't want understanding from others. He doesn't want to learn anything. He's actually caught up in his own heart. He's discovering his own heart. He's self-centered. He is selfish. He is the center of his own world. No one else comes into it unless he is the center. I'm going to tell you, that is a rotten place to be. When you trust in yourself, it says in Proverbs 19:3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. And his heart fretteth against the Lord. Notice that. In 19 verse 3, the foolishness of man perverteth his way. Do you know what foolishness does? It perverts your way. It's not a good way. It's not a right way. When a man is foolishness, his foolishness twists his way. It's not a straight path anymore. It's not a narrow path that you walk. Your foolishness makes you walk in a crooked path. But notice what it says about this foolish man who walks in a crooked path and gets himself in trouble. It says, his heart fretteth against the Lord, or it boils up against the Lord. Now hear me, this is the mark of a fool. They don't do what God says. Oh yes, they're religious. Yes, I want God. I want God to bless me. But they don't really listen to God. They're trusting in themselves. And then do you know what they do? When they get in trouble, they blame God. God, why did you do that? God, why didn't you bless me? Lord, why did you allow this? Hold on, you didn't listen to him. You didn't listen to wisdom. You haven't asked counsel. I've seen it 10,000 times. People make decisions and they never even asked wise counsel. They go and make it and then come and ask, what do you think? Well, sure, you've made your decision. What do you expect me to say? You make your decision and then you come and say, look, this is what I've done. What do you think? Do you really want to know? You see, the first great mark of a fool is he trusts in himself. But you know what a wise man doesn't? A wise man, someone who's going to be wise, does not trust in their own heart. I don't trust in this heart. I don't trust in my own wisdom. I want to find godly men and godly women who can counsel me. If someone's wise in an area, I watch them. And I want to learn from them. And I want to change. I'm not a world in myself. I'm not the center of my world. A wise man says, this life is rotten. This flesh is rotten. I have no confidence in it. That's a wise man. A wise man says, I don't trust this old natural body or the thoughts that go through this mind. How many people have had thoughts go through their mind? I mean thoughts that have kept you awake at night that weren't even true. You find it out the next day or the next week and you go, man, I spent a whole night worrying. Or I thought that about a certain person and I get the facts and go, oh, I was wrong. Do you know what that is? I trusted on myself. I didn't use wisdom. The second mark of a fool is he is unteachable. It says here in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Isn't that wonderful? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's a heart. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. A bit further down in verse 22, it says, fools hate knowledge. Look at it. A fool is unteachable. You can't teach him anything. I've seen people before trying to either drive something or get on something or do something. Say, no, I know what I'm doing. They've never done it before. They've never even tried it before. They don't have a clue what they're doing. And you're going, you've got experience. I'm talking about all of us have seen this, haven't we? And you know something. And you're saying, let me show you. No, I can do it. And you're going, you won't be able to. I will. Do you know what? They're unteachable. That's a foolish man. That's the sort of man who breaks something or hurts himself or cuts his finger off or does something tragic. I tell you, I seen an officer in the army once. He went and got a can of fuel to throw in the fire. He couldn't get the fire going. So what does he do? He gets it and he goes like this. Well, he lost his eyebrows, the edge of his hair, everything else. He soon learned not to knew that. You can't tell him anything. He's an officer. Sir, I wouldn't do that if I was you. No, it'll be all okay, son. I'm going to do it. Fine. But you won't do it a second time. I tell you that. Woof, I just step back. His eyebrows are gone. They won't return for a few weeks, I can assure you. The mark is left there of his lack of teachability. You see, a fool hates knowledge. A fool can't be instructed. A fool hates getting preached at. A fool hates to be told what to do. A fool hates to be told where he's wrong or what he ought to be doing. There's a hatred against it. And I want to tell you, if that's in your heart, where you hate to be corrected or you hate to be told something, and I know it's all naturally within us. It is. Within our flesh, it's all within us. In our old Adamic nature, Adam hates to be told or corrected. It's within us. But saints, if we're going to grow and be wise, we have a desire. I want to know. If you hate to be instructed, then fine, go to hell. Make your mistakes. Make a disaster. And then say, oh, well, why didn't someone tell me? Because you couldn't listen. Actually, your foolishness closed your ears. Not only does it blind your eyes, it closes your ears. Show me a man who will not listen and cannot learn and cannot be told anything, and I'll show you a man who's a fool. He is marked by foolishness. You know, some of the wisest guys I know, the men I respect the most, those who I believe are doing more in ministry than anyone else I know. Do you know what? They're the easiest people to talk to and point something out to. The easiest. I've gone to them. I'm on the phone. They'll phone me up and I go, I couldn't even tie their shoelaces. And they're saying, what do you think about this situation? Do you know what? They're not fools. That's why God has entrusted them with so much. They don't mind asking someone. I watched Brother Clendenin. He'd come and ask them, what do you think about that? That's why he made so few mistakes. He was a wise man. But see, a fool is utterly unteachable. It says in Proverbs 23:9, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. And that's what a fool does with wisdom. They can be handed wisdom on a platter. They can be given all the wisdom they need to change their life or to help them. And you know what? They despise it. And the word despise means to treat very lightly. You go, it's of no consequence to me. You're being handed wisdom and you go, I could care less. It marks you out as a fool because you see, a wise man cherishes. He listens, he watches, he learns. He's looking for counsel. It also says in Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. Here are righteous people feeding many. The lips of the righteous will feed many. But you've got a fool in the midst who dies of hunger. Why? Because he won't listen. He would rather die than become teachable. He would rather destroy himself, burn himself, make his mistakes, go and make a tragedy, a pig's ear of his life, than actually to listen. And yet you can have the words of the righteous given wisdom, and the fool would rather die. What a stubbornness. I'm telling you, of a lifetime of watching this, I have seen people sit in churches. I have seen people make moves to places. I tell you, it's one of the number one things I've seen over the years, and pastors tell me about it. Here's someone in a church, and they love the Word of God, and they say they love the Lord, and they're truly born again, and they're there in that church, and they said, you know what, I'm moving up to Scotland, to this little village. Is there a church there? Oh, I don't know, I'm sure I'll be okay. They'll put a job before even seeking out a church. And you know what? They move their wife and their kids and they go into this place. There's no church. I've heard this at least 100 times. That person phones 2 weeks later. Says, Pastor, I can't find a church. There's no church up here. I've gone everywhere. There's nothing. And the pastor's left there going, what do I say to them? I said, don't. Have you checked for a church? Have you looked? Have you prayed about it? Are you looking for the spiritual good of your family? Are you going to move there? Sure, I'll be fine. That's a fool. That's foolishness. You've made a decision that's going to affect your family spiritually. For many years. You don't know the consequence of that. But you made that. Oh, sure, I'll be fine. Unteachable. Can't listen. And they come with a problem. I've got a problem now. Why didn't you listen 3 weeks ago? The third mark of a fool. He thinks he can buy wisdom. It says in Proverbs 17:6, wherefore or why is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he has no heart to it? What it means is, here comes a fool. Why is a fool coming with all this money? And he's coming with all this money saying, I'm going to get wisdom, I'm going to buy wisdom, whenever his heart doesn't really want it. This foolish man actually thinks if he has enough money, he can get wisdom. He thinks wisdom can be bought with cash. He thinks he can get it at a shortcut or a cut price. You see, the Bible says how we get wisdom. First knowledge, then understanding, then wisdom. The Bible says it comes out of the fear of God. But here comes a young man saying, I'll just buy it. Oh, sure, I can buy it and have the very same wisdom. You see, this young man believes everything has a financial price. He actually believes that joy or happiness can be bought. Have the right house, have the right job, have the right bank account, and you will have joy. I can gain wisdom through my money. No, you can't. You can't buy wisdom. It doesn't come that cheaply. You will pay for it, but not with money in your pocket. You see, there's some even believe everybody has a price. I want to tell you, I don't have a price tonight. And I hope you don't have a price. where someone can manipulate you, or bully you, or buy you, either by your quietness or by your outspokenness. And you see, a real Christian ought to be the most untouchable person. If someone come here tonight and says, I'll give you €1 trillion, I wouldn't even have to know what it was for. I'd say, on your back. What, €1 trillion? I'll make it €5 trillion. I don't want it. You can't give me enough money. You couldn't give me nations to compromise my convictions. I mean it. Amen. She's a witness. I've had men come up to me, offer me all manners of money if I do certain things ministry-wise. Just open doors up for me. No way. I'll give you as much money as you want to do all you want. Don't want it. I don't want it. Amen. But this is for God's glory. No, it's not. No, it's not. A young man comes with money in his hand. Sure, I'll get wisdom. I'll get what I need. I'll get all the wisdom I need. No, you'll destroy yourself. If you think those things can be bought, you're a fool. You're an absolute fool. There's no shortcuts to wisdom. Money cannot buy wisdom. It comes out of the fear of God. You see, a fool thinks he can buy wisdom. But you cannot buy wisdom. You're going to come the old-fashioned way of the fear of God. The only way you will become wise in the church is when you tremble before God. When you look at him and say, I'm so conscious of you. You aren't going to buy wisdom from God at any cost. Down price. God doesn't give you wisdom because you bribe him. Well, I'll give you $1 million to the church. Not interested. That's what God says. I don't want your $1 million. I want you to fear me. Amen. I don't want your token. Put a wee penny in the basket there. By the way, that's an offering basket. I'm not interested in your penny. Not a bit interested. Do you know what? I want you to fear me. I want you to fear me. You know the prosperity preachers in America? They're begging for your money. Everything hinges on money. I tell you, everything hinges on the fear of God. You want to be wise, you will fear God. You want to be wise, fear God. If you don't fear God tonight, you're a fool. I mean, if you don't tremble, how do you show that you don't fear God? You change the word of God. Something convicts you. Don't like it. Change it. Well, I don't believe that. Or I feel okay, so I'll just change the word. You're a fool. You're doing yourself out of the fear of God. Because I tell you, there's things in this book make me tremble. And I love him, and I walk with him, and I desire him. But I'm telling you, there's some things in this book I read, it makes me tremble. And I thank God for that. But this is the pathway to the fear of God. Fourthly, this fool is a visionary. Listen to what it says. In Proverbs 17:24, it says, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Notice that wisdom is before him that understandeth. In other words, a wise man, it's before him. He is concentrating on what he's doing right before him, right here and now. That's what wisdom makes you do. Deal with what is here and now. Don't be looking away down the road. But listen again, what it says about the fool. It says, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. He's a visionary. He's a utopian follower. You know what the word utopian means? It means nowhere. Nowhere. It doesn't exist. Utopian dreams are an idealistic world. I'm going to have this sort of life, or I'm going to have this sort of partner, or I'm going to have this sort of job, or I'm going to have... And you're not doing what it entails now. If you want the right husband or wife, you better be praying. Oh, sure, I'll go looking for them. You better be praying. I can assure you. You know what a visionary is like? His eyes are in the ends of the earth. He's dreaming of many things, but he doesn't obey God now. Oh, I'm dreaming of being a missionary in Africa or Asia, or seeing revival, or seeing thousands of people come to the Lord. Or I'm dreaming that this, it's going to happen overnight like that. The Lord is going to come down with a special anointing in one of these meetings. And I'm dreaming I'm going to go and do this. The Lord's going to do it all. Do you get up and pray in the morning? Oh, well, if only you knew how busy. If only you knew. If only you understood. Understood. And okay. understand fine. You see, we can be a visionary. In other words, we can live in an imaginary world. That's foolish. We live in a real world, saints. There is suffering, there is heartache, there is discipline. If you don't discipline yourself today and tomorrow and next week, don't be dreaming that God's going to mystically move you into something miraculous. That doesn't happen. Oh, God's going to give me a big ministry. Or God's going to give me a beautiful wife with blah, 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 blah. But I can sit through whatever today. No, he won't do that. You're a utopian follower. You're following clouds. I met a lot of Christians in the church. They are visionary, but they're foolish. You can't get them in the prayer meeting. They're not a member of any church. They're never faithful in evangelism. There's none of those principles there. But you know what? The Spirit of God told me this morning. I met them. They have more dreams, prophecies, and visions than Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel all put together in one. They really do. They're utopian, they're dreamers, but they're utterly unrealistic. And they say, well, the Lord told me this morning. And you know, after I was having a cup of coffee this morning, the Lord showed me this, and I had this dream, and I've had this prophecy, and I've had... Why don't you do basic things in the Bible? I've met many men in the church, and they have all this maturity, but they wreck their marriage. Heard about it just 2 nights ago. A guy I knew, my heart's broken over it. Wrecked marriage. What's the point of being in a church pastor of a church of 600 people, but your own marriage suffers? Is that wise? Do you know what? I wouldn't put any ministry before her, before this marriage. She comes before ministry. She's more important than ministry. Anything wrong here? We're going to assert this. That's wise. Then we'll go minister together. That's wise. You see, you can be visionary. You can be impractical because it doesn't meet your need here. Wisdom puts you here now. Today you're in this church. How does wisdom affect your life in this church today and on Friday and on Sunday and next week and next month? That is wisdom. See, a wise man concentrates on that. He's not living up in the clouds and in a mystical dream world that's unreal. We're talking about real wisdom. A foolish man or a foolish woman does that. Number 5, he is impulsive. This is a fool. Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known. Notice the wrath, the anger. What is wrath? What's the difference between anger and wrath? We know what anger is, don't we? Anger, that's a thing of the heart. What's wrath? Wrath is anger stirred to action. Wrath is when anger boils up and comes out in words and action. That's the difference of it. Notice a fool's wrath is presently known. In other words, there's no control on it. As soon as something comes to his heart, he boils over. That is foolish. You know why? Lots of people have got angry over things and later they find out it wasn't quite like that. Or I didn't hear the full story. He goes further and says, but a prudent man covereth shame. See, a fool gets angry about things, but a wise man actually wants to cover it. The things a fool gets angry over, a wise man says, let's see how we can work through this. Let's deal with it. Can I help you? You ever stop that? You get angry over something. What about stopping and saying, can I help you? Are you having trouble? Can I give you a word of wisdom? Can I show you how to get through this? That's what a wise man does. But do you know what? A fool just explodes. Sixthly, a foolish man is destructive. Or should I say, she is destructive. Proverbs 14 verse 1, every wise woman buildeth up her house. That's what a wise woman does. She builds up her house. But the foolish woman plucketh it down with her hands. Think about it. What is a foolish woman? This is her house. I'm not talking about a physical house building. I'm talking about her family. This is where she's going to live. This is the closest environment to her. This can be the place of her greatest blessing and greatest joy. What's she doing? She is tearing it down. You're a fool if you tear down the people who are closest to you, who can be the greatest blessing. You're a fool. But you know what? You're very wise if the people who are closest to you, if I'm wise, I'm going to build her up. I'm going to want to protect that home, and she's going to want to do it. If she's a fool, just tear that home down. Just strike out at me. Hurt me. Do whatever. You'll be damaging yourself. That's what happens. You see, a fool is destructive. They're their own worst enemy. They shoot themselves in their foot. A lot of people can do that. You can be your own worst enemy. You're destructive. You actually do things to other people or your own environment, and it has an effect on you. Let me move on here. Number 7, he commits evil. A fool commits evil. It says in Proverbs 10:23, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief. He thinks it's a joke. He actually thinks it's fun or it's good to do mischief or to do what is wrong. You see, the mark of a fool is he doesn't have any restraint from doing things that are evil or doing things that were wrong. There's no restraint on him. He actually enjoys it or thinks it's fun or thinks it's a job. It says in Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and he departs from evil. How do I know a wise man? The fear of God is so there that he departs from evil. A man who is wise will not do what is wrong or will not do what's evil. Show me a man running from evil, I'll show you a wise man. Show me a man walking towards doing something wrong, I'll show you a fool. I will do it. You're a fool. I'm going to do it. I don't care what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says, but I'm still going to do that. You're a fool. Well, I could care less. Well, there's consequences. There is consequences. Number 8, and this is the most major mark of a fool. And the opposite is true of a wise man. Number 8, he is known by his tongue. The Proverbs is filled with statements about the foolish man and his tongue. Filled with it. This is the major mark of a fool. I can tell a foolish man and a wise man by listening to them. Let me just sit and listen to someone. Let me get inside their conversation. And I'll tell you if they're wise or foolish. I can tell everything about you by your conversation. But you know why? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Oh, well, it didn't really mean that. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. What comes out of your mouth was in your heart. All of us have sinned, haven't we? Haven't we all said things and you go, your heart smites you. You might defend it, but you went, here, you said it. They're your words that come out of your heart. You own them. Oh, I don't know. Where did that come from? We used to have a movie years ago to show the kids Lucy and her lie. Lucy and her lie. One day she tells a lie. It was to show the little kids. It was a cartoon. And little Lucy, she tells a little lie. And out of her mouth pops this bubble and it speaks to her. And says, who are you? Says, I'm your lie. You created me. Says, well, here, hide in the cupboard beside my bed. Don't let mummy or daddy see it. So she hid the lie in there. And she told another lie. And he got bigger. And he started getting bigger and bigger. He had to go under the bed because he's getting too big for the drawer. Then he started to bulge out because she kept telling lies. That tongue. You say, oh, I don't know who he is. Start bulging out of the room. He's so big, he's bust the bed now. Mommy comes up and goes, who's this? I don't know. I don't know who he is, where he come from. No, Mr. Lysage, I'm your lie. I'm here because of you. I don't know who he is. Trying to cover him, hide him. We can be like that. We want to disown what comes out of us. They're your words. They're your words. Listen to what it says. In Proverbs 10 and verse 8, because the tongue reveals your future. I can tell certain things about your future by your words. It says, the wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Someone who's always prating, they don't listen to commandments, they don't listen to what the Bible says, they're always just speaking. I can tell you they're going to get in trouble. Also in Proverbs 10:18, we see the false tongue. It says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Who's the fool? He that hideth hatred in his tongue, in his heart. He's got hatred there, but he won't tell you. He covers it with lies and a smile. Oh, sure, it's okay. I hate you. I feel like killing you. But sure, it's okay. I love you, brother. But your heart is filled with hatred. You know what? That's a fool. A fool has anger in his heart, but he'll smile and say, oh, it's okay. That's going to destroy you. That's within you. That marks you as a fool. Your lying lips, your lies on your lips are actually revealing that you're very foolish. But also notice this, he that uttereth a slander is a fool. What is a slander? A lie. You go around talking about someone and it's not true. You're twisting things. You don't love them. You don't care about them. Do you know what they done? Do you know what he done? Do you know what she done? Well, what about you? I hope you're clear before you go talk about them. I hope you're nice and spotless in that area. I know none of us, all of us are on a journey. But I tell you, if you're pointing things out about someone else and you're guilty of that, that's hypocrisy. That's hypocrisy. It's revealed by your own tongue. There's also the empty tongue in Proverbs 12:23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. How do I know a fool? He's always proclaiming foolishness. Just listen to him. And he's pouring out foolishness. It makes no sense. It's got nothing to do with Christ. It's got no good at all. All it is foolishness. Proclaiming foolishness. How do I know they're a fool? Because they speak foolish. A wise man speaks wisdom, or he's very wise in what he does in his conversation. That's the mark of him. It also says he speaks what he is. Do you realize what you speak is what you are? Don't try to separate yourself from what you speak. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. In other words, he dispenses or he scatters his folly. Hold on a second. I've got some more for you. Proverbs 14:3. A proud tongue. I'm talking about a foolish man. Who's a foolish man? His tongue is proud. Listen to this. It says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. What's a rod of pride? A rod's used to hit people with. It's a rod of pride. Do you realize that comes out of pride? It's actually words that come out of you, that come out of a proud heart. What is pride? You're bloated, you think an awful lot of yourself. And what do you do with the rod? You're smiting or hitting people. You're actually speaking to someone, and a rod of pride comes out of the heart of a fool. Like smiting someone with a stick, you're hitting them, and it comes out of pride. You're bloated, doesn't come out of humility. Doesn't come out of love. It's actually proud. You look down and you're smiting them. Your words can hurt. Anyone been hurt by words? I have. People have maybe said something, it's hurt me. And you know what? A lot of the time it's meant to hurt. That doesn't mean we don't be honest and don't be real. We do. We have to be. But there is a rod of pride. And you know what? The man who uses a rod of pride is a fool. Also, he can't hold his tongue. Proverbs 14:33. It says, wisdom resteth in the heart. Notice this. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that understandeth. In other words, it's just there nice and quiet. You're going to have to go looking at it. You're going to have to find it in a man of knowledge. There's wisdom there, but it's hidden. It's deep within his heart. But notice this, that it actually says, but the mouth of fools... But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. They can't control their tongue. They're throwing out everything. It says in Proverbs 15:2, the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. It gushes out. How do I know a fool? They speak foolish. How do I know a foolish man? Because they speak it. That's what comes out of them. That's the mark of their life. Show me a wise man, I'll show you a man speaking wisdom. Show me a man who just speaks a load of foolishness. It's not worth anything. I'll show you a fool. Because it reveals the heart. The tongue always reveals the heart. It says in Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. If you're a fool, you could be a fool sitting here tonight and just keep your mouth shut and we'll all think you're wise. But as soon as a fool opens his mouth, I knew it. I know what you are. Do you know what? Because your words have just revealed your heart, your character, your desires, your nature, everything about you. Forsake the foolish and live. Go from the presence of a foolish man. Answer not a foolish man according to his folly. Or maybe we should say, answer a fool according to his folly. When we see the picture of the foolish man, we realize that is not what I want to be. I want to be a wise man. And Proverbs holds them up and reveals their character and who they are. And he says, what do you want to be? I'll make you a wise man if you want to be a wise man. Please stand with me tonight. Oh my Lord, praise you, Lord Jesus.